La 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 la. Have you already been out for breakfast, Judith? Already been out for breakfast today? Because you said you couldn't do the podcast till 10:30. I thought, well, cleaner's in the house. So I don't want to get under her feet. Jeff and I went into East Dulwich, had breakfast out.
It was very expensive.
Up. I mean, it was very good. I mean, it was very nice, and I'm not complaining and all that sort of thing. But it's a bit of a shocker, isn't it? When you spent more or less 50 quid before 10 o'clock in the morning. Because I picked up some petrol as well.
Including the petrol in that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, right. I was going to say, that is a bit of a slap-up breakfast. So I'm picturing smashed avocado. I'm picturing sourdough toast.
Went off-piste. I went off-piste, Judith. I went totally off-piste. I went very unusual for me.
I'm worried
you
now.
Will never guess.
Go on.
Jeff had the scrambled egg bacon and sourdough toast. My teeth are still a bit tender. I had a croissant.
An
that's not like
croissant
me.
Or just
not
an
like me.
Croissant?
Yes, but it was a big one, and that's what I fancied, and that's all I could cope with. I couldn't be bothered with a knife and fork. You know, sometimes when you just can't really be bothered.
I don't know that. That doesn't happen to me.
Oh, I've had a very tough few days, as you know, because I've been up to see June, and it was bloody awful. Bloody awful. That's what it was.
Really?
Well, it was her 93rd birthday on Monday the 16th. And so I went up on Sunday and I've got that bloody bike there. I'll be swearing quite a lot for the next 5 minutes. There'll be a lot of bloodies. I can't say bike without saying bloody bike.
Worse.
I can't just say the bicycle. It's a bloody bicycle. You know, I'm duty bound to cycle there. I cycle on the bloody bike to the bloody home. No, I'm not going to say the bloody home because they're doing their best. And she's deteriorating, and dementia is a very, very nasty disease. It really is. And she's agitated. Anyway, that visit was okay. And then I popped by to see my aunt, who's 96 and still living independently and all that sort of thing.
Gosh.
We had a jolly
and
old
still
time.
Still got all her marbles. And
yes. Blind, but still got all her marbles. I said, what are you listening to? Are you listening to books? She said, Iris Murdoch's The Sea. She doesn't let herself off the hook. And then we went back on Monday. I took Eileen, her sister, with me, and June was just all over the place. She was just so agitated, and she just kept saying over and over again, I want to go home. Why can't I go home?
Then at one point,
you know, she was wheeled into the tea table for afternoon tea, and she put her hand up and she asked if she could go home.
And I just thought,
I can't, So it was very, very
tragic.
Particularly bad on her birthday. But I don't think she's ever liked birthday. I don't think she has ever liked a fuss on her birthday. And I think it put her under pressure. And she'd had, you know, they'd sung to her and cards in the morning and all that kind of thing. And we went in the afternoon. It was too much.
Oh, but that's heartbreaking. That I'm just picturing that. Your mum putting her hand up.
Yeah, it's awful.
And of course it must be, you know, I mean... This must be such a... I'm not saying it's not terrible because it's common, but it must be so widespread with all, you know, these people who've been on their own and sort of isolated because of COVID and away from their family. It must have hastened all sorts of...
Well, I think, you know, you can't... It's not just a dementia that COVID had a big old impact on. It's, you know, the cancer... referrals and the, you know, so many things.
People's mental health in general, for goodness
sake. In general, absolutely. And we're just all meant to bounce back, and it's very odd, you know. It's like the water's closed over COVID, and now it's all back. And actually, all of us are pretty badly bruised. I think pregnant women had an awful time. I really do. I think any woman that gave birth in the pandemic deserves a medal. I genuinely think that it must have been one of the most frightening things to have gone through.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And also being, you know, with baby very early on without...
Oh, absolutely. And not being able to come and go. I mean, well, you know, imagine Sienna and the twins and you not actually legally not being allowed to visit. Yeah. I mean, you'd have dug a tunnel, Judith.
Yeah, I probably would. No,
you would have done. Have you got them in the house, by the way? Are they in the house?
No, not at the moment. No, I've just been over there. So I've done the 7 o'clock and I'm back.
Okay.
I haven't seen them for a few days, actually.
Did they change?
Yes, they have. They do change so fast, honestly. It's unbelievable. I mean, Stanley's a weight now, you know. Always a weight.
Is he a lump?
It's a bit of a lump. But so it was very nice to see them. Equally very nice to come away. But
I don't think Edward looks like Mike.
No.
Can you not see that? I see it. I see it so clearly. I mean, so clearly. Absolutely, yeah.
I always find it very difficult to see kind of people in babies. I mean, all that stuff when people, oh, he looks like you, doesn't he? I don't really get it. They look like babies to me.
But I mean, they're both very classic babies, but no, I can see Mike in Edward. I could be terribly wrong, you know. Yes, they do change. It's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what kind of weight are they now? Are they sort of 10 pounders?
I think they're probably 10 or even maybe 11 pounders, actually. God. Don't know. We've gone past the stage where I'm saying, has the health visitor been? You know what I mean? We've scampered on a bit now.
Yeah, yeah. They're like grown-ups. They're like adult men now, really. They're having a fag round the back of the... what was that?
Sienna looked a bit rough this morning.
Did she?
Yeah. But she's had the other grandma to stay, thank God. But I think James has been on shifts. It's been quite a tough old time. But she's all right. She's all right. She's surviving.
And Phoebe's now heading for 32 weeks this Friday, which is scampering on. And she's doing really well. And I will admit that she had a bit of a wobble last week because she had to go and see a midwife, and the midwife was concerned about something, and then Phoebe had a massive panic. And then she was sent from pillar to post, rather. Anyway, what has transpired is that she's had another scan. She's doing absolutely fine.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And everything's going in completely the right direction. And, measurements are good. So that's all good.
Before we leave your baby that's on the way. Well, not your baby.
Not my baby, Judith. It's not mine.
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you felt, I can't remember whether you've actually said whether it's a girl or a boy or not, but have you felt them kick? Have you felt them kick yet?
Yeah. I felt it. I don't know whether it was kicking or rolling around. It's a boy. And I think it was doing a somersault or something. I don't know. I don't think Phoebe likes people sort of manhandling, and I'm very aware of not over manhandling. But you felt him, I have. And I've never washed my hands, so I don't get too close. she had 1 week where I thought she looked very tired, but I saw her on Saturday and I thought she looked really well.
I
tried not to interfere too much, but Jeff made me go home before I really broke it. You know what
really?
I mean?
Where were you crossing the line? Where were you up to the line?
Putting pictures up. Yeah.
Oh, it's always you. It's all around the house, isn't it, with you?
Yeah.
You know, that's where you. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Snooping, sticking my nose in, going into every room, going to rooms that I haven't been invited in, criticising things, saying, this house has got 1960s bones. What are you doing putting that shit up there? All that sort of stuff.
Dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, Jenny.
Well, she's a bit of a hoarder. And she's just got this ridiculous rug with a cat on it in her study. Oh, God. Anyway, there we go. It's not my house, apparently.
Are you sure?
It's not my house. It's not my baby, honestly. It's not on, is it? Anyway, there we go.
I mean, in the notes for today, you have said that you're itching to get on with the next project. And I have to say, there was a bit of me that thought, now, come on, Jenny. It's all very well, this, isn't it? But you are about to become a grandma. And I've got a feeling, if you take on a big project, you might regret it. Because I think you're going to want... you could go one of two ways, couldn't you? But I think...
I could hide behind the sofa for the first 6 months quite easily, Judith. I could
have
a massive allergic reaction to it. It wasn't very good when Phoebe was born, let's face it. I fobbed her off as soon as I possibly could. 3 months, I think, I had a nanny. Or a child.
You could be allergic to babies in the way that people can be allergic to cats.
To dogs and cats. Yeah. One sneeze and I'll know it's not a good idea.
You'll be there. I have to say, I predict.
I'm just hoping it gives me some good stand-up material.
Oh, I haven't thought of that.
That's what I'm thinking. I hope I get 10 minutes out of this. But anyway, let's just hope. I mean, to all joking aside, I have been incredibly anxious over this pregnancy, as I think most grandmothers to be are.
Oh, yes. Understandable.
But I'm breathing a little bit more easily at the moment, and I'm saying that yeah. I'm fingering
yeah, I'm
wood.
Touching, I'm,
fingering
me
wood,
too,
I am.
Me too. Oh, that's an unpleasant phrase, Jenny. I don't like the way you put that.
Yeah, I know, I know. It sounds like filth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does rather.
Can I tell you something else, Judith?
What? What?
Oh, well, you know, I have to be a bit careful on Twitter sometimes. When I was at my mother's...
That's an understatement, isn't it?
Well, you don't really dabble that much, do you?
I don't dare. I should put my foot in it all the time if I was on Twitter. But anyway, go on. Yeah.
Well, I was at my mother's and I was just sort of moseying around the kitchen. There was this bowl of sort of mostly innocuous drugs, you know, aspirin and Pyritin and stuff like that. And, and I found a packet of Temazepam.
Did you?
I did. And it was dated 2007.
Well, you know, that, sort of, we'd live with that. I'd live with that. I'd be all right with that.
Slightly jokingly, I said, found this packet of Temazepam at my mother in my mother's flat, dated 2007. What do you reckon? Keep for emergencies or chuck? And just people got really po-faced about it.
Oh,
really po-faced.
God, did they? What like saying that, you know...
Well, I told you what somebody actually said on Twitter. They told me that I was illegally in possession of a Class C drug. I thought, I'm not in possession. They're in a fucking bowl in my mum's kitchen. God in heaven.
What
and then
is
people
wrong
were saying,
with people?
People were saying, what kind of emergency would warrant taking, you know, Temazepam? I just said back, well, the Russians nuking us for starters. I think
that's right, absolutely.
I think if I was at my mum's flat and there was a 4-minute warning, the first thing I'd do is run to the bowl in the kitchen and I'd swallow them all back.
You bloody bet. I think, yeah, you and me both. Oh, people do. I mean, I don't go on Twitter nearly as much as you do, but people do turn into either, the angry mob, or the teacher's pet, don't they? You know, look at me. Oh, I'm saying I never do anything wrong. Yeah, oh, no, how could you do that?
And then there's the whole conversation about, I hope you're not just going to chuck them. These tablets need disposing of.
God.
You need to take them to the nearest pharmacy. You know, what if an animal or a child got hold of them? I thought, well, if I do chuck them away, the packet's probably going to be empty. Oh, I don't know, Judith. I mean, it was such a sort of tedious thing that it nearly drove me to them. It nearly drove me into the arms of the
I absolutely get that. Because it's like armchair criticism, isn't it? Armchair policing / criticism / you know, I'm on the moral high ground.
Absolutely.
So easy to do, just when
easy. And also, who are these people that have never suffered any pain? Last time I was prescribed Temazepam, it was for acute pain, nerve pain.
Yes, I don't know. I'm not surprised.
You know, but who are these people that have never had acute pain or anxiety? Who are they?
I don't know. I don't. Are they in government or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Bulletproof. Carapaces. Oh, do you like that word? Just came
Ooh,
to me.
Judith,
came to me,
I like the
me,
use of the word
carapace.
Oh my God!
Yes, you
God.
See, if I was on Twitter in a kind of showy offy sort of mood, I could use that, couldn't I? Or it could be a very, very difficult wordle. Oh, a really difficult.
Well, it wouldn't
wordle.
Fit wordle, does it? Wouldn't fit wordle because it's too long. Carapace.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah.
So
smarty
ass. Yes, you're being a little bit of a wordle novice there, Judith. shall I tell you what else I did at my mother's? I ate the same meal 4 times to avoid waste.
What do you mean you ate the same meal?
All right, I'll tell you exactly what I did. On Sunday, when I arrived, my mum's flat is very near a Sainsbury's local. I went there. I got a family-sized quiche. I got a quiche. I got some coleslaw. I got some potato salad. I got some hummus. And I got some tzatziki. And I
you made that last?
Yes.
Grim.
Pot. Yeah, and a bag of salad.
Oh, God.
I have to say that I cracked on the fourth meal.
I bet you did.
And
well, nothing hot for apart from the elves. Nothing no. hot. That would be.
Well,
very
that's right. Yes, that's exactly how you're absolutely right. I went rummaging in the freezer and I found some oven chips.
Oh.
And I substituted the potato salad, which wasn't a good. It wasn't a classic potato salad.
Oh,
I have to say,
oh,
it was a poor potato
poor.
Salad.
Oh, a poor potato salad.
A poor potato Brilliant. Salad. So I had oven chips instead.
Oh God, I'd have gone to the chippy. I'd have cracked on day. One, I think, or day two.
Well, it was a bit of a mission. Do you know sometimes when you kind of
decide
this is what you're going to do? But you must do that in Cornwall.
Well, I do sometimes. If I'm in something a bit better than a bloody bit of coleslaw and a bit of quiche. But yes, I know what you mean.
Nothing better than coleslaw and quiche, Judith. Nothing
well,
finer.
Lunch,
what did
lunch.
I have? What did I have at your house? I had a when I came to visit the twins. I had asparagus quiche.
Very and, superior, though, I have
to
say.
It was homemade as asparagus quiche.
Yes.
And
yeah,
some,
yeah, yeah.
And I think, you, did you make the slaw?
No, I didn't
make it.
No, I didn't.
It was fennel. Was it fennel?
No, it was celeriac from Waitrose.
Celeriac.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was upmarket coleslaw, don't you worry.
Yeah, but
no, I do. I know what you mean. I do the same thing in Cornwall, and it's kind of... Well, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of not eating out. It's just, I may as well, yes, sort of save money. Kind of a little bit like that, but yes.
A little bit of saving money. And also the fact that, you know, I'm not going to bring anything back to London with me. So this is this, you know, and I can't bear to throw anything away.
Yes.
So I was quite pleased with myself, Judith. There was quite a lot of the hummus and tzatziki left, but I thought, what am I going to add? That had to go. Because otherwise, if I leave it in my mum's flat and it's a couple of weeks until somebody turns up, I did that once.
Yeah,
I did that once.
Yeah,
I left a sliced loaf in the bread bin and all.
So you've been obviously... Oh, dear. Sorry.
Yeah.
So did you? So you were saying that you've been on the bike. So were you up and down to the home?
I did the care home on the bike. Apart from once when I had to take when I was taking my aunt, it all got a bit complicated because I thought I can't have her on the handlebars. She's 96. I just can't. So in the end, I walked from her house and, you know, she uses a walker and I mean, she just risks life and limb every time she crosses a road. She can't see a thing. And, you know, there's nobody
does.
Should be because there's no, it just she just goes. I think she just goes, oh, fuck it, I'm going. Do you
it's
know what
quite
I mean?
It's quite hard, isn't it?
It's
walking
impossible.
With old people because they're very, very slow. I remember that it was like that with my Auntie Dorothy. And it's just like, come on, can we just quicken it up a bit? It's kind
No,
of,
I'm better than,
you're
I'm patient. Kinder than
you're
that.
Nice,
more,
you're nicer
yeah.
than me. I think you're
Sometimes
actually
I am.
Nicer
I,
than
I think
me.
I think that when it comes to physical frailty, because I have been physically frail in recent
yes.
months.
Yes.
With the
yes.
sciatica, and it's a real fucking eye opener. That's what it is when you have when your mobility completely drops, and you suddenly go, this is how life is so hard, and particularly in London, where you know everything's so quick and mad, and you know there's loads of sort of non-step-free access places on tube stations and things like that, which makes me really, really angry. But I'll tell you one thing that upset me about my aunt, and I just thought, oh God, you know, this is a glimpse into the future. And she said, oh, Jenny, I tell you what I couldn't do the other day. I thought, oh, where are we going with this? And she said, I couldn't get the lid off the ice cream. She said, oh, I had strawberries ready and I could not. And I just thought, oh, bloody hell. She said I had to wait for the carer to come the next day. And I said, the first thing you do is you take that lid off that ice cream. And I just thought, this is, you know, I mean, I struggle with the, you know, those washing tablets for clothes? Those drums that they come in, those, they're bastards, aren't they?
Oh, they are, I know, yes. Lots of things, actually. I now use a pair of scissors to get into quite a lot of things that I used to be able to just tear.
That's another thing we need on a lanyard round our necks, isn't it? A pair of scissors to get into things.
Scissors, oh my God. But yes, I think what you're saying is that actually the sort of disabilities that come with old age, they just seem trivial and everyday and, you know, unremarkable until they start to happen. And actually, how bloody maddening are they going to be? And yeah, I know. I've got a friend who's just about to have a shoulder operation. And she said, well, I won't be able to kind of drive for 5 weeks. I won't be able to really do very much. It's my right hand for 5 weeks. And it's just not... If that happens to me, and you know, it might come off the bike one day, probably will. I will just be, not only will I be kind of, well, I'll just be vile. I'll be so frustrated and maddened. But this
it's a good thing to happen to us in a very small and temporary way, just to remind ourselves difficult it is for so many people. I mean, my sister, who's one of the fittest people in the world, is absolutely crippled with sciatica at the moment.
I know.
She's having a really, really tough time. She's as thin as a pin, and she cycles and she swims, and she's done nothing to deserve this. Absolutely nothing. And I'm not, you know, I can be quite tough on our Sarah, but I actually genuinely feel that this is not fair.
No, it's, you're 93 out of 30. Eileen, she's called, isn't she?
Eileen's 96.
Yeah. Oh, 96. It's your mum that's 93, and Eileen is 96.
She's the younger one, yeah.
Oh. So did they have a bit of nice teen time together? Did they
not really. It was, June was very, Jenny. Very...
distressed.
On her birthday, she was very absent from Eileen. I think sometimes it's quite triggering seeing the two of us together. Maybe she has a bit of jealousy, very latent, very, you know, I don't know. She just didn't. After what happens is this initial absolute glee of seeing me, her whole face lights up and it's this beautiful moment, but it lasts less than a minute. And then it's just agitation and sort of, you know, I mean, the staff in the home are being so very, very patient with her. I mean, it
are
is
they?
Absolutely constant. Yeah.
And what's it like in there? Is it sort of comfortable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's very comfortable. It's hot. You've got to remember. I mean, my aunt had dressed up for June's birthday and she had a sort of, she had a beautiful, you know, my aunt's the best dressed person I know. She's 96 and she's blind, but she dresses herself beautifully. She had this lovely jumper on, but it was a crew neck and it was a woolen, it was a sort of wool from Marks. And it was a pale blue, pink and black leopard skin jumper, but really, really pretty. No, she's really, really good with clothes.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds lovely.
And she, she said, "I've got a vest on under this. I might have to." Both of us were nearly down to our bras, I tell you. Now, talking about clothes, have you managed another jaunt to the wedding, mother of the bride shop?
It was possibly, for the first hour, I mean, we were there a long time. We had an appointment. And it's a shop in Leamington Spa. Leamington Spa is quite a nice place, actually.
I like Leamington Spa. Did you go to Bill's?
No, but I've been to Bill's with you after one of the Grumpy shows.
Yeah.
But they've got some, it's a bit like a kind of junior version of Cheltenham Spa, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they've got some
nice independent
shops. Nice park. So there's this shop which I went to for Sienna's wedding outfit, and they have this upstairs thing which is kind of all mother of the bride, right? And I've left it a little bit late. I'm quite, you know, I'm 16, 18, so I knew it was going to be a bit of a battle. So anyway, we got there, and it was an hour of absolute hell, Jenny. It was hell in that it was. I tried on 35 outfits.
Now, hold on. If you were there for an hour, that's 2 minutes an outfit. That's 2 minutes an outfit.
Oh, well,
That's like being a quick change artist.
They didn't stay on for long, I tell you. The problem with them is that, and I think I'm beefier and bigger and older than for Sienna's. But also I think, you know, they suit some people very well. But actually when you're kind of, because I've got that kind of beefy sort of feel to me now, you know, and I looked like, if I'd had a balloon, like a party balloon, I'd have looked like I was fancy dressed at a girl's birthday party. And they were kind of frilly and flouncy and braidy and lacy and bodicy and, oh God, they were. So morale was quite
Were you
bad.
Getting help? Were you getting professional help at this point?
Yes,
was there not
but
a woman
I think,
said...
Yeah, there was, but she was pulled in lots of different directions by a lot of other people who were in similar circumstances. And also dominated by this young woman who was probably in her early 20s who was trying on prom dresses on a sort of platform.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And she
got herself...
What are
you doing wearing prom dresses when you're in your 20s? Get over
yourself. Yeah, well, exactly. And honestly, the whole time I was there, it was the same one in the gold, then in the red, then in the silver, then in the black, and then in the white. Her and her mother. And you just think, oh, for goodness sake, they all look absolutely fine. Just pull yourselves together. And she was on a platform, you know, so she could see herself. Oh, anyway, she was dominating the whole proceedings and in a way that was very, very irritating.
Was it a spinning platform, Judith, so she could look at herself from all angles?
Was it one of those? I don't think it was as fancy as that, but it was self-important and monopolising and getting in my way.
Basically, you'd have quite liked to have gone on the platform.
I quite cheerfully have pushed her off that fucking platform.
Okay. I thought you'd ordered a jumpsuit online.
Well, I did, and it came, and the girl said I looked... I mean, it was gorgeous and beautiful, but I just think the trouble is in a size 18, there's a lot of... You know, there's a lot of it and a lot of pattern. And I kind of felt, you know, once somebody had used the word pyjama, that was it, really. So that went back. Okay. Anyway, so...
Were you wearing it with your slippers, though? I mean, sometimes. You've got to make an effort.
So came downstairs to torrential rain, right? Thought, sod it. You know, we can't leave it. Can't leave the shop in this rain. So I started to look round downstairs into the evening section, and I found almost immediately in the reduced section a Joseph Ribkoff top with kind of glitter on.
I've
the
never heard of Joseph Ribkoff.
Have you not?
Have you before? No.
Yes, I have, and I've got... I think the nicest dress I've ever bought is a Joseph Ribkoff.
Okay.
Which I can't fit into anymore, sadly, but I can't let go of it because I love it. And it's just... It's got some... you know, a swing to it, and it's got nice fitting trousers. Oh, 10 minutes, I was done. Got
trousers?
Me back, got done
trousers?
Trousers.
Is it a long tunic and trousers?
It's quite long, and it's one of those things that I've got a sort of... It's got a kind of body sort of hugging thing underneath. It's navy blue. And then it's got a chiffon thing on the top that's a bit like a poncho shape that's kind of... Do you know what I mean? Covers up all my front.
I think we need to wait until after the wedding when you put when you're allowed to put a photo up. So you've not gone print, you've not gone florals, you've not gone geometrics.
But I've gone a little bit evening-y. Gone a bit evening-y, but, you know, there you go.
Did you manage to get the bag and the shoes?
You know, I've been told not to go for sparkly shoes. My instinct is to go for sparkly shoes to match the sparkly bit on the thing, but I've been told, no, matchy, 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 and I think that's probably what you would say too. But it's not going to be easy. But anyway, at least I've got the basic outfit.
If you end up in that new Birkenstocks, you'll be fine, you'll be fine.
Actually,
and a plastic bag for all your stuff. Yeah. For your lip balm. That's all you need.
What are your essentials then in a bag? Lip balm?
Well, no,
foam.
I don't do lip balm.
You're not addicted to it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Last time I went to the dental hygiene, she put lip balm on my lips. I think she thought they were cracked and dry.
Did she?
Yeah. I thought, I've come for my teeth, not for a beauty salon. What are you up to? They really look after you. I said, very good dental surgery now.
Have you been back again? You haven't been back again since the week.
I'm on a regime, Judith. We're getting my gums in shape. You know, I mean, I tell you, if the rest of my body was as good as my gums now, I'd be all right. So what the essentials for my bag are...
Yeah, what's in your bag?
For me, it's my phone is the most essential thing.
Yeah, and they're big, aren't they? Let's face it, they're not small.
Yes, and a credit card, my Visa card.
Oh,
and
yes.
My over 60s Oyster card.
Oh, stylish.
So I can get around London for nothing after rush hour. And
lipstick. Must be
a lipstick and a little mirror. My eye med stuff and if I've got mouth ulcers, mouth ulcer med.
Right, okay. So it's got quite a sort of medical theme, hasn't it?
Yeah,
really?
It's mostly meds. What meds and keys.
Your keys.
Just the little bag, though. That's just a little bit. And then I have my sack, my big yellow sack that's full of all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I remember your sack. Yeah. It really is, isn't it? I don't know how you cope with all the rummaging in that bloody sack. It'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it, what we would have had in our handbags in our 20s or our 30s. Would have been a tampon, obviously.
Condoms and a tampon. Fags for me.
Fags, exactly. As you were describing it, I was also thinking, yeah, it would have been a small pack, but probably a 10. 10 Rothmans.
20.
Yeah. How things have changed, eh? But yeah, once you've got your keys in, I mean, it's
As long as you've got your keys, your phone, I always have a mask as well because, you know, I'm still wearing a mask on public transport in London.
If it's
busy, yeah.
I bet you're on your own. I bet you're the only one these days.
Not entirely, no. I think that it's increasingly rare, but there are still people that are fully masked. And if I get into a car and the driver is wearing a mask, then I put a mask on.
Yeah.
It's like that. And if, if my driver isn't masked and I open windows, and the first time he coughs, I put a mask on. You know, it's a bit like that. Quite judgmental. There we go. How's your garden, Judith? Last time I was at your house, your garden was gorgeous.
Well, it is gorgeous, but, you know, it's full of weeds and it's got bindweed in it and all of that. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. I think the trouble is, I do love a garden, but it's like housework. I think, well, that needs doing and that needs doing. I should pull this up. You know, it's just on my list. It's just more stuff on the to-do list. And I'm just so rarely go into that garden and think, well, this is lovely. Oh, look, the birds are singing. And isn't this gorgeous? Shall I just experience it? And that's a failing of mine, I think, really. But I just...
Yeah, you're a difficult woman.
It's annoying.
Very difficult. I bought... the other day, I went past a garden centre, you know, just a little one. And I saw these foxgloves.
In your car? In the car?
In the car, yeah. We were coming back from somewhere.
Did you pull in? Did you have to pull in? Did you? Oh, you parked.
Well, it was on a road, you know, like this is not, you know, we have them in London too, Judith.
Yeah, but even so, I'm quite impressed.
It was on a domestic road, you know, where we were going around to a friend's house actually, and they live on a road and there's a small garden centre up their road.
Okay.
And I saw these foxgloves. I had a fucking great big pot of them. I bought those.
Foxgloves.
I love foxgloves. I do love them. I love foxgloves, Judith. They're one of my foxgloves and hollyhocks.
Hollyhocks. Yeah, I often get them mixed up. So you've got foxgloves, which is because the thing is hollyhocks.
The foxglove. You said gloves that you could put on a fox.
But they do get very tall. Just you know.
That's the good thing about them. No, well, you're thinking about hollyhocks. They get very tall.
Well, I think they both get quite tall. Yeah, I think you just might have to put it at the back. You might have to put it so it's got a little bit of support. You know, put it by the.
They're in the pot. They're in the pot. I've got a fence. Oh, you're mad, you. Now then, I think it's possibly time. That we went, oh, and I'll tell you something else that has been upsetting me, apart from, I think I mentioned my roses last week. I'm not having a good year for my roses.
You're not.
No, I'm not having a good year. And my hair, Judith, my hair, post-COVID.
Hair?
Yeah, awful, awful.
Yeah.
It's gone zero body and kind of brittle.
Oh, do you think they're connected? Do you think the post-COVID thing is sort of connected?
Did yours
it
not
could
go
be.
A bit limp at all?
Well, I mean, actually, now you've said that, it has. It's gone very, very dry. I put a load of, you know, that coconut oil that you can get, sort of solid stuff.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that if you put that on your hair, it sort of it invigorates it and it's cheaper than all these expensive moisturisers. Daubed it all over the hair.
Yeah.
And which was fine, it was quite good.
I mean, like a block of lard, you sort of took
like
a block.
It was actually just like, spread it,
yeah.
Sort of went round it and you know, did things for several hours. But it took ages and ages and ages to get the shower. I think I shampooed it about six times, so it's completely pointless. And now the shower tray is a complete death trap,
So you've got to watch that, Judith, because.
Sensible.
You know, you don't need to just have a fall off a bike. You could fall over in a shower.
I could. I haven't got any grab rails. No, very true. So, that'll be the next phase, won't it? So what do you do with your brittle hair now?
I don't know. I'm going to the hairdressers this afternoon.
I'm going to a new person.
I feel a bit guilty.
Oh.
But I just feel like I need a fresh pair of eyes and a fresh set of hands on my head.
Yes.
Just to see if they think, you know, let's do it this way. But I might end up in tears today. It could go both ways. A disaster.
Absolutely. So are you going to a new salon or are you just going to a
no,
new
No, I'm going
person,
to her house. I'm going to her house. Yeah, she
you're
doesn't
going to a well, yeah. Hold on. What? You're going to a hairdresser that operates from her? I'm suddenly getting a picture of shampoo and sets and kind of those funny
hoses. I want a pink rinse. I want to come out.
Hairdressing
looking...
at home. That doesn't sound like you, Jenny and Claire, at all.
I saw my friend,
oh.
And I thought, your hair is beautifully cut. Who do you go?
Oh.
She said, here's the contact. She doesn't. She only does when she wants and who she wants.
Oh.
I'm going round her house.
My goodness. Yeah. I wonder if she'll have one of those things that she puts on the taps. You know, remember those plastic things?
A double hose thing.
Yeah, a hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember those? They always used to have those, didn't they?
Yeah.
I never.
Well, I'll keep you posted,
So if you... All right. So you might go some for it. Just trying to visualise what you might do that's different.
I can't do much. Judith, I can't do much. I've got very poor hair. I've got poor quality hair with very little body. So, you know, it's not going to be that big a change. I mean, the only thing I could change would be the colour, and I'm not going to do that. So,
Are you not?
No, never, ever.
So there we go. Different colour hair. Well, exciting though. Well, I shall be very interested to know.
Okay,
what happens?
Well, I'll keep you posted. Que
pasa. Thank you very much.
Because I've got a telly on Monday.
Oh, have you? What are you doing?
I'm doing Good Morning Britain. Is that the one?
Yes. Are you? So what are you plugging? You must be plugging something.
I've got three things to plug.
Oh, get you.
I've got the new series of Draws Off, which I think now is called the Great Big Naked Painting Challenge.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I still refer to it as Draws Off.
Yeah.
And I've got the new young adult fiction book coming out next month.
So you
And I've got the tour extension, and they want me to flog tickets for that.
Blimey.
So it's a tripler.
That's always tricky though, isn't it? Because then it's like you feel a little bit like one of those brush salesmen that sort of, you know, get
you've
all
got this attachment,
got,
you could get this one, yeah,
exactly. And the time's running out, you know what it's like, because you can see, can't you, when they're just about to come to the end.
Glazing over, and basically, and then what they have to do is they have to do sort of physical body language, and they have to turn their back on you and go to another camera and say, that's enough of her then, let's move along over to the weather.
Out.
And I'm still going to get my brushes out. Do you know what, Judith? I am now going to go and get a set of brushes, and whatever I do on Monday, I'm also going to sell some brushes. I think that's all my projects done then. I think I will have to be a brush salesman. Oh, fucking hell, I don't know what to do next.
You are so industrious, honestly.
I won't be that industrious when this baby comes. I'll do some goo 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 ga 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 stuff, won't I?
I think you will. I've got a feeling you will.
Ga ga ga.
I've forgotten what they go. What's he going to call you? Is it Nana? You've not decided yet.
Jeff has decided, because everyone says that. What's he going to call you, Jeff? And he says, Sir. He's going to call me Sir. So that's that. Anyway, we'll find out, won't we? Culture Corner, Judith. What have you got for me?
Well, we are obsessed with The Staircase at the moment. I think I talked about it last week, but we've immersed ourselves now in the documentary series as well.
Okay.
So listen.
Now, remind me of what sides these are on, please.
Okay. Well, The Staircase itself, which is the drama with Colin Firth, right? Mm-hmm. Based on a true story. That's on Sky Atlantic or something, but you have to get it. You get it if you've got a Now dongle.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jeff can't get into his Now account because it goes to a really old email address and he cannot remember
password.
We tried it last night. We had a very ugly time watching television last night.
Did you?
Very ugly indeed.
Couldn't find anything.
You know, watched a Jason Statham film for 15 minutes until I said, I cannot bear this at 1 second longer.
Right.
And then we just had so many false starts. We went from Netflix to Amazon Prime to real television to iPlayer.
Yep.
And everything was just utterly shit. And we've rinsed so much stuff. You know, there's so much stuff that we've seen.
Absolutely. And then have you done that thing where you start it and you think, oh, this looks interesting. And then it's just 10 minutes in. Oh, wait a minute, we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, seen
absolutely.
It, didn't really like it last
didn't
time.
Really
you know,
like
that kind
it.
Of thing.
I know.
Very disappointing.
I know.
Okay, so that's... So I've got to sort of like get Jeff to remember his password.
You have.
Yeah.
But what you could do is you could start watching the documentary series, which is on Netflix. And the interesting thing, well, I think I said last week, is that obviously there was this crew following them for all of the kind of process. What is fascinating, because I still don't know whether he was found guilty or not, you see. And what is fascinating is that this crew follows the defence team and they employ kind of, you know, mock juries to go through the evidence. And so they watch them and then they see how they react and then they have kind of feedback sessions, which, I mean, that's astonishing, isn't it? If you've got enough money, then you can do this. You can try out your evidence and then you change the way that you're going to spin it in court.
Well, if you've got enough money, it's a ridiculous Wagatha case that's going on with Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy at the moment. It's a private. I mean, we can't moan that much about it because we're not paying for it. It's a private prosecution, but it's a great big waste of bloody time, really. I mean, I haven't paid that much attention to it.
But what's really interesting about the documentary is that in the end, I think. It sort of teaches you that basically, if you were a juror, you probably would vote on the basis of whether you like somebody or not. I mean, ultimately, that is the bottom line. And the more I see of this documentary, the more I dislike this guy. And although the evidence is not, you know, conclusive at the moment, you just don't like him. You just don't like his manner.
Yeah.
You don't trust him. And actually, I bet it's as simple as that in lots of cases. It's probably why I've never been allowed to be a juror. Is that you know, yeah, it would be, wouldn't we it? Whether you really like them or not.
We should not be allowed to be jurors.
I've never been invited.
No, I've never been, but I'm quite relieved as well because, it can really interfere with work and you never know how long they're going to go on for.
No, we would be silly.
We'd be doing things like, well, his eyes are very close together. I think you're fine.
That's exactly right.
He's barely got a forehead, you know.
Couldn't help it. Don't like his tie. Look at those socks. Why would you buy those shoes? I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's a wrong'un. Okay, books, Judith, books. I'll just interrupt, sorry, and give my telly. And I don't know whether it's utterly shit or not. It's a film, and it's on Netflix, and it's called Senior Year. And it's probably terrible. I was very vulnerable. I was at June's. I'd had a large glass of wine. And I laughed and I cried at Senior Year, starring Rebel Wilson, as a cheerleader who has a fall and ends up in a coma just before prom night and wakes up 20 years later and goes back to high school as a 37-year-old woman with the attitude of a 17-year-old.
Oh, good heavens. It was a large glass of wine.
Yeah. No, I didn't... Weirdly, me and my girlfriend, Julie Ballou, years ago, wrote a little... Well, it was meant to be a play or something called Coma Girl, but it never got anywhere. But it's exactly the same premise. But I did sort of enjoy it. It's the right kind of mush for when you're having a bad time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds like it's got my name on it sometimes. So where do we find this one?
We find that on Netflix. I think it's number one on Netflix at the moment.
Is it?
Senior Year, yes.
That's where you spotted it.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Right.
I tried Conversations with Friends, but I wanted to watch it at double speed. I just thought, I cannot.
Oh, like watching paint dry.
Oh, God. I could have grown mustard on Cress. It seemed to be at that kind of speed.
Absolutely. What's all that about? I don't know.
I don't know. Some people love
moody,
it, but there we go.
Moody.
But apparently moody. In some of the later episodes, it's in Croatia and the scenery is very nice. So who knows?
I bet.
I did love Life After Life, but I found the ending a bit lacking, so much so that I kept insisting there must be another episode and there wasn't. And I've read the book, then. I should have known. Yes, a bit. But it's still beautifully done, so there we go. Okay,
yes,
books.
I think that's a treat to look forward to. So I've started something called Trespasses, which is by Louise Kennedy, and it's an Observer debut novel this year, and it's set in Northern Ireland in the 70s, and she's a teacher, and she's a Protestant, and she has an affair with a Catholic barrister. But I'm enjoying the kind of 70s colour, you know, the kind of... pine stripped dresses and sort of lack of aubergines and you know all of that kind of, you know, all of the detail and the kind of the sort of wine that we drank and so on. I'm really enjoying that, and I assume, by the way, that you've got that kind of stuff in your novel, which is set in the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. Yes in Writing on the Wall there's that sort of detail. I am reading The Paper Palace, which I'm really enjoying. And it's by Cara. Oh, sorry, you're going to have to look that up, everybody. The Paper Palace. I've got it on Audible. It's beautifully read by a woman called Laurel Lefko, who does a lot of American-based fiction in this country on audio, and a really good reader. And I'm really enjoying it. And I think a lot of our listeners will. Although there's quite a lot of semen in it.
Semen?
Yeah, as in spunk semen.
Right, okay.
You know, there's a couple of sort of abuse bits where it gets a bit semen-y. That's all that.
Well, is it a crimey? Is it a crime?
No, it's not. It's a family. It's family saga. It's an affair. It's you know something has happened to a woman and bits of her family have kind of are missing. And she is having an affair with somebody she knew from a long time ago, even though on the surface she seems quite happily married. And it's set in a sort of one of those kind of Hamptonsy kind of place, beach housey kind of bits some lakes and all that. But quite sort of shacky. They're posh people, but it's quite shack like, not posh, posh, posh.
And present day.
Yes, but looking back. Also, okay. It's on the Women's Prize shortlist, and it's the Duchess of Cornwall as well. Okay. Now, emails.
We've
had lots of lovely
nice,
emails.
Haven't we just? I tell you what, we had a lovely woman called Rosemary who's she didn't give us her age, which is slightly remiss, but she's offered to do the confetti for Ellen's
wedding because she's a retired florist and she's got the machine. Isn't that nice of her? Really, really nice.
That's
of you,
fantastic. That's why we do the podcast. That's the sort of thing we're after. Right. Well, that's the kind of help we're after. Come on, everybody. You know, it's like volunteer and help us out. Yeah, how marvellous. We've got a photograph as well from Suzanne who had bought a pair of dungarees and I don't think she'd worn them, but we gave her the courage to wear her dungarees and she sent us a photograph of her dungarees now and her dungarees in 1978. She looked better now in her dungarees than she did in 1978.
Yes. I thought exactly the same. She looked brilliant and she said she needed the courage to wear them. Well, for goodness sake, she looked great in them.
She looked
really
great in them.
Fab.
Yeah, yeah. We are expecting to see now hordes of 60 plus women. The 50-somethings can join in as well, wearing dungarees. Okay.
Possibly the Brits on tops underneath, yes.
Yes, and we've got a lovely photograph of Olivia, and a woman called Olivia, sending us her mother the groom outfit for August. You got it all at Phase 8. She looked very nice.
She looked very good. I think I'd have done better to go to Phase 8. She looked very, very nice indeed. Lovely colour. Pale blue. Very good. Yep,
yeah, silvery grey. A silvery grey, I thought. Very smart, very smart. Good work, Olivia. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining in and, you know, sending us such lovely messages. We do appreciate each
absolutely.
And every one.
Now, okay, the email address, Jenny, your turn. I got it wrong last
you know,
year.
You, failed right. last, you failed last last week and Daisy had to step in. I mean, I will. It's olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
You've only gone and got that right.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you,
that was by the seat of
my pants. Yeah,
absolutely, I genuinely can't remember what I said now.
All right, everybody, much love to you all. It's a nice day today.
I know, it's lovely here.
So
absolutely.
We'll love you and leave you, and we'll be back next week.
Okay, yeah, nice to talk to you, Jenny. Thanks ever so much, Daisy. Bye, gang.
Toodle pip.
Toodle pip.
Toodle pip.
Bye.